Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive?
Amen.
Praise God. I am thrilled for this service today. We are going to be changed. We're going to walk out of here different. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good things are in store. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to pray here in a second. And I'm not going to do a lot of review, hardly any actually, because we got things to cover today, but also it's all online, praise God. But this is part 5 of our series entitled The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today will be our 5th and final message in the series. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word with such precious people. Father, people that you love so much, that you died for and you gave your life for. And Lord, it is a joy and an honor to be able to feed them the Word of God. And Father, they're not here for man's plans, man's ideas. They're here for the anointing and for the Word of God. And so, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. And Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God. And not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but there'll be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Boldness will flow from me. Utterance from heaven will flow from me. And Father, we'll always point the spotlight and the credit back to you. Father, I'm just a branch. You're the vine. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So Lord, we give you the praise this morning. We give you the glory. And Father, we thank you that we'll have bullseyes in our hearts to be hit today, speaking directly to us, things pertaining to our life, to change things. Father, you want change for us. You want turnarounds for us, deliverances for us, increase for us. And so, Father, we thank you that word is the avenue into that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, being assembled together with them, commanded them, Jesus, that they would not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus is telling them, the Christians here, there's something more you need. Don't leave until you get it. And the reason is because we want you to be endued with power from on high. And, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and things when it comes to this topic. But we've just uncovered so many things in this series that we certainly can't cover in 2 minutes of review. So I do encourage you to go back and look online. But what we've seen so far, without a shadow of a doubt, proof of the word, is that salvation is an experience, but so is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they're not the same experience. Amen? See, over and over in the Word where somebody got born again, and then after they got saved, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We saw that speaking in tongues, you know, you say that phrase and it brings about so many different feelings and thoughts in the church world, but we saw that speaking in tongues clearly in the Bible is the evidence of one being filled with the Holy Ghost. That the initial evidence, there's no other thing in the Bible that it points to that is proof that one has received. And in fact, you can't separate speaking in tongues from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are one. They're intertwined together. Praise God. Can't have one without the other. And we saw what tongues is, and we learned what that is, and it took away our fears and saw that it's just a spiritual language talking to Him. We saw that. But we saw last week that this speaking in tongues business, it's for every one of His believers. The thought that I can't do it, or it's not for me, or that's for somebody else, it's a lie and deception from the enemy. We saw it is for all that believe, the Bible says, that this gift is for everybody. And we saw what the people that are against it say. We saw how they pick and choose to twist the scriptures and pull one scripture out of context and make it say what they want to say. But we dispelled all those things, didn't we? We discredited all those things through the Word, not coming against people or trying to be we're the right ones, but we want, instead of, I don't want to be right, I want to get it right. I don't care about being right, I just want to get it right, to do the right thing, which is the Bible. So we saw that last week. And we had an awesome thing happen at the end of service last week. 3 people came up and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praise God. just by a show of hands, because there's people in here right now that have never received it, and we're going to give that opportunity again. By show of hands, how many of you in here have received it from my ministry alone? Raise your hands. Look at all the hands. For those that haven't received it, we know how to do this. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know how to get you into that flow. And it's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to worry about. Last week, it happened so fast. You know, the faith was high, and it's going to be the same thing today. Praise God. And so we'll get to more of that at the end of service. But today, I'm so excited about the service because if any message in this series encapsulates everybody to a real high degree, we could, you know, the Lord told me that everybody gets something out of each message. But today, it's to the full for people that are on the outside looking in and for people that are inside this flow and are well-versed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and you've been that way for years. Today is for all of us big time. Amen? Because today, what we're going to talk about is the benefits of speaking in tongues. Aren't you glad that tongues comes with a benefits package? Amen. It's a benefits package. Why? God wants you to benefit from it. I remember the first job that I got that actually had benefits. Blew my mind. Sick days, wow. Vacation time, and they're going to pay me to not come to work? I like these benefits. Insurance, right? You take advantage of them because they benefit you. Well, tongues has a benefit package. And if I could say it this way, Jesus commanded that we receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Really, because you can't separate them. The main thing when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. It's the main thing. Without speaking in tongues, there's no initial infilling. But then without speaking in tongues, who gives a rip that 10 years ago you once spoke in tongues? You're not benefiting from it. Well, you know, I used my vacation time 10 years ago. Yeah, but what about the 9 to follow? You didn't benefit from it. You know, you could have took some personal days in those 10 years. Oh, I took a personal day 10 years ago, but I haven't taken one in 10 years. Well, you didn't benefit from your benefit package. It benefited you when you did it, but it didn't benefit you all the times you didn't use it. Amen. And so, if you're on the outside looking in, it's going to stir you up, light a fire under you to say, I can't go another day without this. You'd be crazy to. Amen. For those that are inside it, we say, you know what? I haven't touched this in forever. Or I dabble in it every now and again. You're going to see, oh, no. This needs to become a lifestyle for me. I'm missing out. God's offering me something, and I'm not taking advantage of it. And let me tell you something. And y'all need to listen to this. When you don't take advantage of something that God offers you, there will be consequences. It will show up in the negative. Amen. It just will. Praise God, it just will. And then those of us that we're hitting it out of the park. How many of you know you can hit the ball farther? That's right. Amen. You can hit the ball farther, praise God, and go deeper. And I know this. If the Holy Ghost is telling my pastor, Pastor Michael Luketic, to pray more, when I know there's not a human being that I know of on planet Earth that prays more in the Spirit than that man, and the Holy Ghost is telling him to do more, I'm guessing we can do more than our little 5-minute shalababa in the shower. I don't know if yours sounds like shalababa, but someone's must. I'm just guessing we could do more. It's just a guess, just a hunch, praise God. So I want to show you the value and the benefits of it to motivate you to get in and to motivate you to get flowing with it, praise God. Many people don't know the benefits of it, and so they stay on the outside. Ah, this is something I can do without. No, you can't. Or they get filled one time, and they're ignorant, and they think, well, I got it. No, if you're not using it, you got it for nothing. Right, yeah. Amen. One time you were blessed, but you're not right now. Right. Hallelujah. And so I want to show you, and I normally start when I preach this, I always kind of throw this in at the end, but it seemed good in my spirit to start you off with this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Hallelujah. I have a confession. I mentioned this last night. You were there, you heard it. You get to hear it again. I need to watch what I watch on late night TV because late night TV has the infomercials. And if you can put a good salesman on there and you can show me how you can spray some black stuff underneath a glass boat and go out onto the Everglades with the gators underneath there when you got a hole in it, sign me up for some Flex Seal, right? I mean, that's just the truth. I'm a sucker. I see those things. Well, what do? They put these promos on there, and these people are high energy and are good salesmen, and they tell you how wonderful it is, and they show you all these crazy examples, and then people like me are like, wow, I can't live without that. I need to get it, so I have to be careful watching that stuff and just keep my time to the Walmart section of the As Seen on TV. I just need to keep myself to that and make my own judgment and not let whoever up there hopping around, because it gets me going. Well, it's the same thing when you see a commercial for a burger. I mean, you show me a T9 from Taco Bell on a billboard or on a TV, and I'm telling you where I'm getting in my truck and going to. Taco Bell! I can't not! It gets in there, right? That's the purpose of those billboards. Now, the thing with the natural billboards and things, we don't know all the time if they're completely honest with what they're saying. But they're hyping it up. Why? To get you to want it. Well, how many of you know God is not a hype man in the sense that he's not just trying to hype you up and then not deliver on the goods? God will hype you up and deliver on the goods. And I always say in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, it is the infomercial of all infomercials. It is the billboard and the commercial of all commercials when it comes to praying in tongues. Let me tell you what I mean. The writer of this verse is the one that used to be called Saul of Tarsus. He got knocked on his can in Acts chapter 9 when Jesus appeared to him. He got born again. God changed his name to the Apostle Paul, right? He was used in the Bible. Well, let me tell you, first of all, 2/3 of where we spend our life in the Bible was written by him. We don't spend the majority of our time in the Old Testament. We don't spend a majority of our time in the Gospels. The letters to the church were specifically written to you and I, born-again Christians. What am I talking about? Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Those books, Titus, Philemon, all those books are written to specifically us, people that have received Jesus, and now we have revelation going forward from those books. The majority of that was written by the Apostle Paul, but here's how he learned it. He didn't go to Bible school like Pastor Mike did. He went to Jesus' personal face-to-face Bible school. No other person can say that ever. The Bible said that the Apostle Paul said, I didn't learn any of this from any man. I learned it from him. Jesus schooled him face to face. Jesus used him to write 2/3 of the revelation that you and I are walking in today and living victoriously through because of him. No other Christian on the face of planet Earth that has ever been, is, or will ever be in the category of the Apostle Paul. Not more loved, not more special to God, more used by God. He was victorious. He changed the world. God changed the world through that man. Okay? He was mightily used. He is one of the top fivers I cannot wait to meet when I get to heaven because of what he did and what he meant to our lives. That man had an infomercial for us. That man put up a commercial in a billboard. And he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, I, who's I? That man that's done so much. That man that God used more mightily than anyone else in the history of mankind. That man that was victorious over the enemy. That man that stood at the brink of death so many times, was raised from the death, had miracles, signs, and wonders. He said, I, that man, thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. What's he saying? I speak in tongues all the time. To me, when I hear him say that, it should naturally make you want his success. I want to do or need to do what he did. What did that man do to overcome? He spoke in tongues all the time. He didn't say he was doing anything else more than everybody else except for speaking in tongues. Now, again, when it comes to commercials and things, you know, things can be misleading. But do you know why Nike spent millions upon millions of dollars to lock up Michael Jordan in contracts and to have him for years nursing their brand? Why? He was the face of the NBA. He was the face of basketball. All kids on the playgrounds and in the gyms wanted to be like Mike. Isn't that the promo? I want to be like Mike. And so what did they say? He wears Nikes. And look how he can jump and play basketball. So people that see that like me think, I'm a little vertically challenged, but the shoes will certainly cause me to be able to slam dunk. And it's one of the reoccurring torturous dreams that I have that I can slam dunk. And I wake up and it's still there. Praise God, still the same. No slam dunking, but I can touch the net. I can do it. I can grab the net. But Mike had the shoes. Do we believe that those shoes made him jump higher and farther and better? No. Now, they might be good quality, but Reebok can make good qualities. Adidas can make good qualities. All these other shoes can make good qualities. Shoes. What about Gatorade? Is that the only beverage that could hydrate Michael Jordan? No, but hey, it's the one he's drinking. And they're paying him millions because then we go out, well, Mike drinks it, so let's go get some Gatorade. If that man, those people can cause people to be influenced, how much more? The greatest Christian ever ought to make you realize, I need to be speaking in tongues. If Jordan's wearing those shoes, I need those shoes. If Jordan's drinking that Gatorade, I need that Gatorade. If Paul's praying in tongues, I need to be praying in tongues. Praise God. It's the truth. John G. Lake was a minister in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He'd went all over the world. And I can't remember. I still slipped my mind. I should have looked it up, but he was a mighty apostle used of God. He actually started healing, like a healing community in Seattle, Washington. And in his ministry, he had 100,000 confirmed medical healings where the doctor actually wrote, this was this way, you ministered to him, to her, it's now different. Not just somebody that testified, I had a headache, I don't anymore, I had stomach problems, I don't anymore. Confirmed medical reports upon all the other ones that weren't confirmed medically. 100,000. Seattle, Washington, back when he had those going on, and you can look this up, it's a historical fact, was called the healthiest city in America. I can't remember what deadly virus it was. It slipped my mind. If someone remembers it, you can shout it out to me. But it was in Africa, and it was killing people off like crazy. And they had some of this virus underneath the microscope with scientists, and they could look through there and see all the live cultures and that it was alive and well and doing its thing. And John G. Lake, by direction of the Holy Ghost, said, put it in my hand. They said, sir, you can't touch that. You can't come in contact with it. It'll cost your life. He said, put it in my hand. This is the anointing on his life. They put it in his hand, then put it back under a microscope. When the virus hit his hand, it died completely and nothing happened to him. The anointing killed that thing. This man was mightily used. Look him up, John G. Lake. He did the work of two or three ministers while on the earth. And you know what he said? The making of my ministry has been one thing, speaking in tongues. That's what he said. Paul, the one thing he said that I do more than anything else is I speak in tongues, pray in tongues. Now, for those of you that don't know this next gentleman's name, Smith Wigglesworth. How could you forget that name? He was an apostle over in England in the early 1900s. Dr. Lester Summerall, who we talk about, was one of his spiritual sons. If you read about Smith Wigglesworth's ministry, he's got confirmed 8 or 9 raising from the dead testimonies in his ministry. Some are wild and bizarre, but they're documented that that's what happened. People saw it happen. People that were dead, no longer dead. He, one time, he's so anointed, he told the time of when he woke up and the manifested presence of the devil was in his bedroom. Now, the manifested presence of the devil would be a demon-looking creature, right? Unless he was disguised as the angel of light and looked beautiful. But either way, something in his bedroom that shouldn't have been there. Well, I said last night, most of us would have been running for a change of underwear. Smith Wigglesworth rolled over and saw the devil in his room and said, "Oh, it's just you," flopped back over and went back to sleep. That'll get the devil mad. He was full of power and fire. And Smith Wigglesworth couldn't read or write, never had a formal education. But when you put the Bible in front of him, he knew how to read the whole thing. Couldn't read a textbook. They said one time he misspelled the word Holy Spirit 9 different ways. That's hard to do. 9 different ways he misspelled it. And he said this with all the things that happened in his ministry. He said, "I'm one of the greatest conundrums." He said, "People, nothing should come good from me. I don't have any education. I don't have any training. I'm just a poor man. I came from a poor family. Don't know very much." He said, "But all these things happen in my ministry, supernatural things." And this is what he said. "The making of my ministry," guess what he said it was? "Speaking in tongues." Brother Hagin said this: "The greatest deliverances, the greatest financial miracles, the greatest healing miracles came after I spent a prolonged time praying in other tongues." We're talking about the heaviest of the heavy hitters, all the way down through to the ministers we study and look up to. Lester Summerall, an apostle of faith under Smith Wigglesworth, signs, wonders, and miracles. Schools started in the Philippines. Just miracles, signs, devils cast out, healings, wonders. They said, "Dr. Summerall, how often do you pray in tongues?" He said, "When I'm not preaching, that's how often I pray in tongues. All the time." What's Paul doing? All the time praying in tongues. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, who's at the forefront today in the body of Christ, doing what she's doing in her anointing. She wasn't always up there, you know. Here we look at her and we know that she was Miss Oklahoma and was in the Miss America pageant, and she's running a ministry. We see how bold she was. But there was a time she was at the lowest of the lows. She had just come out of an abusive relationship and was engaged to be married to someone that was an abuser in an abusive relationship. Pastor Nancy Dufresne was. Didn't know Dr. Dufresne. Her life was at a crossroads. Her life was a mess. Just real quick. If your life is a mess, I'm about to give you the recipe. Did you hear me? For 3 weeks, she laid on her bed and prayed for 3 hours a day in other tongues. And God, you're going to see why, started working things out and turning things out. And shortly after that time, she met Dr. Ed Dufresne. And it sped her spiritualness up and caught her up to him. And they became a dream team for 20 years, going around tearing up the devil's kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what she says? "My whole life turned around because of speaking in other tongues." All these people letting us know the value, the benefit of speaking in other tongues. Maybe we better dig and find out why this is. Amen? Are you ready? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14:2. Hallelujah. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue..." Now, when it talks about speaking in tongues, you can interchange the phrase praying in tongues. Because yes, you speak in tongues, but it's a prayer language from your spirit. That's what the chapter, or verse 14 tells us. If I pray in the spirit, pray in tongues, my spirit prays, in verse 14 of the same chapter. So when you say speaking in tongues, you're really saying praying in tongues. But look at this. Here's number one benefit of praying in other tongues. "He that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not to men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mystery." So number one, if you're a note taker, of benefits, it's a supernatural means by how we can speak to God directly. Now, I have not encountered a more hotly contested and debated topic in the church world more than speaking in tongues. Some people are so downright against it. They tell you that we're crazy. They say that it's passed away. They say that we don't know what we're talking about. They say that it's fanaticism, that it's just, trying to fit into a stereotype of Pentecostalness or charismaticness and that. And it's just debated, and the Bible's got the answer. And I believe that the reason that this topic is so debated is because that's exactly what the enemy wants. The enemy doesn't want you to benefit. He already saw what the greatest Christian on the earth could do when he took time to pray in tongues all the time and absolutely smoked the devil between the eyes time and time again. Back then, this topic was not contested or debated. It was just brought forth, people received it and did it. But along the way, men and women got involved with their brains and started watering it down and getting their own opinions in there. And then the devil backs that up. He's the influencer of people at times. And he'll tell people things. You can't do it. It's not for you. It's crazy. No, that's not what you want. Why? To keep you from it. And I believe one of the major reasons he wants to keep us from it is this very reason right here. Because when we pray, he's on the outside looking in. He has no idea what we're saying. Only God does. How is that a disadvantage? Well, think about this. Remember in World War II that they had, there's a movie out about it called Code Talkers. I've talked about this before. And in that movie, what was happening was the enemy was hearing what the good guys were doing and where they're going to go and where they're going to go bring supplies and where they're going to go set up and where the ambush were going to be. And when you hear what the enemy's doing and things and you know it, you can make a plan, right? And you get advantages. So we got to do something about this. So they recruited people from the Navajo Indian tribe. And they said, the Germans certainly don't have people that can speak Navajo. So they trained them to speak Navajo, and they put them in different bases in different locations. So when they relayed things about supplies, and this is what we need, this is where we're going to move, this is our plans, they spoke in the Navajo language. And the enemy was on the outside looking in and being frustrated. What are they saying? What are they doing? We can't hinder. You think, is this biblical? Well, I don't have time to go there now. But if you look on your own time in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed. Daniel couldn't pray in tongues. Hadn't existed yet. He had to be born again. Daniel prayed in English. Well, guess who can understand English? The devil can understand English. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10 that the angel went forth to hearken, to perform the prayers that Daniel had prayed, because I don't even know angels minister for us. And the angel said, I was withstood for 21 days. When the enemy heard the prayer, the enemy sent out opposition to withstand 21 days. That can't happen with tongues. The devil doesn't know what you're praying about. The devil doesn't know. Is it money? Is it deliverance? Is it protection? Is it something for their kids? He's on the outside looking in and he hates it. He hates it. I like to picture, this is true. When I pray in tongues, I like to picture the devil sitting on the sidelines, cowering, sucking his thumb, stomping at me, looking at me mad because he has no idea, but I'm communicating with my Father. An unknown tongue, no man understands him. It's to God only. The devil doesn't want Christians being equipped with this. Why would he? Because think about it. When you pray for certain things for your children, peace for your children, how many of you know? The devil hears that can influence people to come in to cause problems. You're praying for money. Devil can influence. He can hear these things. It's biblical. We have scripture on it. Praise God. Keeps him on the outside looking in. Number two is found in the same verse. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks or prays mysteries. Now, for you to get fully this point, this is going to kind of morph into point number four when we get there. They go hand in hand, even though they have a little bit different to them. So we might overlap a few things. But you have to understand something about mysteries. Pray out mysteries. The first thing that you better get in mind when it comes to prayer is that without prayer, God can do nothing on the earth. John Wesley, the founder of the Wesleyan Church, who is not flowing and rolling like John Wesley was. John Wesley was a tongue talker. They don't teach that in that church. How do you know? I grew up in a Wesleyan church. Went to school there till third grade as a young boy until I went to public school in fourth grade. John Wesley used to lay hands on the sick and miracles, signs, and wonders. That's not happening, at least in the ones that I'm aware of. I'm not down on the Wesleyan Church. I'm just telling you what I know from my experience. But he said this. He said, it seems as though God can do nothing on the earth unless someone asks him. Well, is that biblical? Well, first I'll say this. What do you think God's greatest desire is for mankind? It's not riches and wealth. It's not to speak in tongues. His greatest desire for mankind is not for divine healing in your body. His greatest desire for mankind is what? To be saved. To be set free, because when you're not born again, you're in the grips or the throes of the devil. Well, when you get saved, it breaks that off. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now you have heaven. God wants heaven for everybody. It's his number one desire. But how many of you know, you that are born again here today, you did not wake up saved? Did you? No. And you didn't all of a sudden come to the revelation on your own, did you? Some people might through the word, but most people got born again through another person. I did. Reverend Randy Nelbone led me at Hunting Cabin, Youngsville, Pennsylvania, January 10, 2002. Came through a man. The direction came through a man. Most of you got it maybe from Billy Graham on TV, a minister on TV, a friend, a family member, a pastor, co-worker, whatever. But you received it from another person, right? Well, when you look at the Roman road in Romans chapter 10, how to get saved, it talks about call on the name of the Lord and you're saved. But if you work backwards from the point where you called on the name of the Lord, it says, how can you call on something you don't believe in? You can't call on something you don't believe. And then it says, how can you believe in something if you haven't heard? And then it says, how can you hear something unless somebody says something? And how can somebody say something if somebody's not sent to say it? So salvation ends at calling on the name of the Lord, but it started with a person. God's number one desire. People get saved. Why am I telling you this? Well, remember Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus said, I looked at the people, they're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest. What's the harvest? The harvest is the harvest of people. The harvest of souls. God's number one desire. In Matthew 9 it says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, him, would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Well, what do the laborers do in the harvest field? They pick the harvest. How do the laborers pick the harvest? They go out and they tell people about Jesus. The people then hear. Faith rises up. They call on the name of the Lord and then they're saved. So God certainly, if salvation is his number one desire and the only way it can happen is the majority of the time through another person, he certainly would want people to go out. But why then in Matthew 9 does he say you need to pray for it to happen? If God could just take it in his own hands because people screw up and fail and not have to mess with people's salvation, he would just send the laborers out. But by telling us to pray for it, he's telling us, I can't just do it unless you pray and ask me. And that goes back to the Garden of Eden when the enemy took over and was now the God of planet Earth. But now Jesus took that back from the devil. Now we, through Jesus' name, have authority over the devil. So when we say, in the name of Jesus, laborers go forth, God can unleash, untie his hands, and send forth laborers. Amen. Why did James die in Acts chapter 12 and Peter didn't? They're both top three in the body of Christ. Say, what do you mean top three? They were the inner circle. When Jesus would go off by himself, who did he bring? Peter, James, and John. God had a plan for James's life. And guess what? He's killed by Herod in Acts chapter 12. And then what happens? They say, well, let's do the same thing to Peter. He's on the forefront. But what's the only reason Peter was delivered that the Bible tells us? Because the church prayed. Do you think God wanted to deliver James? Yes. Do you think God wanted to deliver Peter? Yes. But he only could when the Christians prayed for it. What about Elijah? Remember, prophesied there'd be no rain, and then God said the rain's coming? But we don't see Elijah sitting around and waiting for the rain. We see Elijah, even though it was God's will for it to rain, we see Elijah praying that out. What about the prophecies about Israel and Jerusalem way back in Daniel's time? And they kept getting delayed and delayed until Daniel started to pray. And then God's will came to pass. Now, why am I saying all this? He that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Think about what mysteries there are personally for you. The plan that God has for you going forward, you don't know it all. You don't know the divine connections, the location, the place, the things he has for you, what he wants you to do. But how many of you know God's plan for your life has already been finished before the foundations of the world? It's already out in front of you. It's just hidden from you. Right? Well, if God's will for Peter and James, if God's will for the rain, if God's will for the deliverance of, sending forth of laborers, it's his will, but it needs to be prayed out. If you have things in your life that you're supposed to walk into, what would make you think any different that you need to be praying out those mysteries as well? You do. Go to Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. See, we got to get out of this idea that whatever happens is just going to happen. That's a garbage way to live your life because it's not how you're supposed to. It's not skillful. No, no, no. God has good things for us, but just because he has good things for us does not mean we'll walk into those good things. God had great things for James, and James' life was cut short. It's the truth. Think of all the things we got to watch Peter go on and do. What should the book have said about James that we didn't get to see? Because there was no prayer, even though God had a will for James' life. James' life was not to get killed by Herod, just like Peter's life was. And we saw the fulfillment of what Peter's plan from God was, but it only happened because of prayer. What does God want to do with your life? What does God want you to walk into? That we just live so unskillfully. Well, it'll be, if not, no. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you pray out the mysteries. Why? You got to pray out God's will for your life. Yes, he's got a will, but it doesn't come without prayer. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me. Look what he's telling you to do. Call unto me, and I'll answer you. What's he saying? I'm not answering until you start calling. You have not because you ask not. He said, you ask, and then the result's receiving. You seek, then you'll find. You knock, then I'll open. Amen. He says, draw near to me, then I'll draw near to you. It always starts with us. The ball is in our court. God is in heaven saying, I've laid it out. We can study the plan of God. We've preached on the plan of God for our lives. We all have different plans and different locations and different things to do. But the one thing that's constant is it's good. It's filled with prosperity. It's filled with peace. It's filled with favor. It's filled with joy. It's filled with divine connections, divine intersections, divine meetups that are there for us. That we got to position our life to get into. For example, what if the perfect spouse for you, single people, the absolute perfect spouse that's going to fulfill every desire and need for you is in another state that God is telling you, my plan for you is, it's not New York State, it's Florida, it's California. And you just think to yourself, well, whatever comes to pass. And God knows, no, I got a gem for you. But I got to get you to work your life and maneuver your life and make decisions. What if the connection that's going to lead to the prosperity is at this other job or this place, and we just live our life so unskillfully, it's just whatever will be. And God's trying to get information to you because he said, you call unto me, then I'll answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you know why you don't know them? Because they're mysteries. What about you business owners? Just never take time, not saying you don't, but the ones that don't, to pray in tongues. And God's got divine connections and maybe a conference to go to or something, someone to hook up with in an area or someone around the area, and he's going to drop a name to you and it's going to absolutely transform and open the doors. And we just say, well, prosperity's mine. And we're not praying out those mysteries. I knew I was called to the ministry. But I didn't know in what capacity. You know, I did get it revealed to me that I was going to be a pastor years and years ago. And I don't have time to tell that story. You can listen to last night's and it goes into more detail about that. But the one I do want to tell is, I knew I was going to pastor. Well, how many of you know the Bible says in Psalms 127 verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Which means what? You can build things. You can build things, but if God's not in it, you're doing it in vain. What does that mean? I know how to start churches. One thing that makes me good at it is I'll do it in any location. I proved it in that dilapidated storefront that we had church in the beginning. I'll just go anywhere. Some people are too picky. Not me. Just give me a room, give me a stand, and give me my Bible, and we'll have church, and we'll grow the thing. Amen. I could do that anywhere. I could go right now and say, well, you know, I could start a church in Orchard Park. I could get one going in Pittsburgh, a family church, or up in the Buffalo region or whatever. I could do that. But unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that builds it. What's that mean? That in His plan is the money. In His plan is the favor. In His plan is the open doors. In His plan is the connections. So I know I'm going to be a minister, and I'm working for Jim and Sue and picking up cherry brush in August of 2009. And I know I'm called to the ministry. Don't know timing, don't know where. I have it in my heart. I'm called to the ministry. I know I'm called to pastor. God revealed it to me supernaturally. Well, I could just go start a church anywhere and watch it flop, because man's plans will flop. Man's plans don't have the open doors. Business owners, family members, parents. You start parenting supernaturally, and God starts revealing mysteries about your children, and woohoo! Boy, does it get good then. Amen. And I could go start a church anywhere. Well, but if the Lord's not in it, it's going to be a struggle. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Right? So I'm just praying in tongues all summer long with my MP3 player. Because most of the time I'm picking up that stuff, I'm just by myself with a tractor and a little dump truck thing on the back, or a little dump trailer on the back, and just picking up brush that was cut down and they trimmed the trees. And I have time just to listen to music and praise and worship music, and I'm just praying in tongues. And one particular day at the end of August, I'm praying in the Spirit all day long. And all of a sudden it drops in me, a mystery revealed to me. Next fall in 2010, in September, you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. And my response was, where is that? Got revealed to me. Where and when? You talk about being out in front of the game when you know a year in advance what you're supposed to do. And the preparations you can start making in the natural, and the preparations you can start praying out in the spiritual and releasing your faith a year in advance. All the mystery's gone. So I start coming to South Dayton and looking around and thinking, what are you smoking? What are you smoking up there? Are you sure? That's what I thought. I thought they have some kind of party in heaven. I didn't think they did that stuff up there. But surely they must, you know. And then I just knew it, you know. I was supposed to be here, and no buildings anywhere to be found. Obviously, by the one we rented. But I knew we were supposed to be here. So you know what I did for a year? I'd come here maybe once a week, drive around. And you know what I'd say when I come through this town and see nothing in the natural? I'd say, Lord, You're the same God that parted the Red Sea. If You parted the Red Sea, You'll surely give us a building in South Dayton. And I'd say it, and I'd say it. And there was nobody that was coming with us to do it to start. There was no money. I have to quit my job. And for a year, just started confessing, saturating the atmosphere with my words. How'd that happen? A mystery was revealed to me. So many times we run around trying to figure things out for our kids and what we should do. And should I pick this major? Should I go to this college? Should I start this business? Should I do this? God's got all the answers. He's got all the answers for our life to be absolutely successful, and they're mysteries to us, and we don't take time to call unto Him. And the New Testament way that we call unto Him is praying in tongues to pray out the mysteries. When mysteries start getting revealed to you, life starts getting really good. It's awesome. Amen. That's number two. Number three, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Is there food today? Ooh, muffins and cakes and sweets. Before lunch, even. We get to be bad. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. Number one, supernatural means to speak to God. Devil can't get involved. Number two, we pray out mysteries. What's our mysteries? The plan of God for our life needs to have prayer prayed out for it. He that speaketh or prayeth in an unknown tongue, look at this, edifies himself. You know what that word edify means? To build up. To charge. Go with me real quick to Jude 20. Jude is the last book before the book of Revelation. There's only one chapter in it, so Jude 1:20. So Paul said if you pray in an unknown tongue, you edify or build yourself up. Jude wrote the same thing. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, charging up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. Praying out mysteries. Now, how many of you know you live in a world run by a supernatural being? The Bible tells you to be victorious. The only way you can beat the devil is not by natural wit. You can't outsmart him. It's not by physical strength. What's the Bible say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the ways He does things. Well, you know why people are... A test shows up at their doorstep. And they completely freak out about it. Oh my gosh, everything's great and they're full of faith. Until hell shows up at their front door in the form of a financial trial, a physical trial, something with their kids, something in their business, something in their body. And then it's just like we forget everything we've been trained for and we freak out. And it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know why people, Christians, now I'm not condemning, I'm just telling you this because how many of you know it's not what we do right that's hurting us. You know why Christians born again with the Spirit of God inside them still struggle with smoking, still struggle with lust problems, still struggle with pornography addiction, still struggle with alcohol. You know why? Weak in their flesh. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Because we try to beat these things through willpower. Willpower is a natural man-made thing. Well, if I just, my overeating problem, I just, you're going at it wrong. That's the truth. Why do our love walks stink? What do I mean by that? Someone at work says something to you. You fly off at the handle. Someone cuts you off in traffic and F-bombs are flying out of your mouth. I'm not speaking from personal experience, just so you know. You just keep those thoughts to yourself. That's not true. It's not true. We need our love walk. Bible says love never fails. Love is the force to our faith. Someone does something wrong to us and we get bitter and we lash out at them. People walk on eggshells around us. Why? Weak in our flesh. The devil's constantly pressing on you. Constantly pressing on you. Constantly trying to take you out of the things of God through discouragement, through lack of faith. You know what worry and anxiety and fear and stress and love walk problems and addiction problems. You know what that all that is? It's just one big fat carnal show. It's the carnal side of man having their way. It's a big party for carnality. When we're a carnal, we lash out in ways. Lash out in lust. Lash out in bitterness. Lash out in anger. Lash out in worry. Lash out in fear. Lash out in filling our voids with other things. That's what we do it for. Because we're going about it the wrong way. We're not built up. Because the Bible says it's your job to build yourself up. I was watching a football game years ago. It was two college teams playing. And it was a really good matchup. They both had tons of five-star recruits, future NFL prospects. And they're evenly matched. It was basically a pick'em game, even in the point spread, basically just like a pick'em game. They had awesome coaches, both won national championships, people on their team galore, storied history programs, or some of the best in college football, and nobody knew who to pick. Well, one team clobbered the heck out of the other team. And the team that got clobbered, get this now, the team that got clobbered, the coach stood up at the podium at the end of the game, and he just was so transparent. This is what he said. He said, they didn't do anything that surprised us. We've studied them. They didn't do anything that caught us by surprise. Your enemy has no new tricks. The devil has no new tricks. None. He's been doing the same thing for 2,000 years, since Jesus, and beyond that. No new tricks. And then the coach said, it's not like we weren't prepared. We had an awesome week of practice. We knew our playbook. It's not like you're not prepared around here to be victorious. We preach victory into you every service. Hallelujah. That's what he said. He said, it's not like we didn't know what they were going to do. It's not like we weren't prepared. He said, but where they got us is they beat us in the spring in the weight room and were more built up than us and threw us around. Now here they were, just as prepared, knew what they were going to do, knew how to do their stuff, but they weren't built up enough. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil will eat your lunch. You can know all the scriptures you want. You can know every trick the devil's going to have for you. And if you're not built up, oh, your flesh is going to show it. And he's going to clobber you. And the Bible says, go back to 1 Corinthians 14:4, please. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. What's that mean? Takes time to charge up. Plug into the socket that gives you the power. I have yet to see a built-up Christian curse out somebody. The built-up Christians are the ones that it's water off a duck's back. The built-up Christian, when the symptoms show up in their body, no matter what the doctor's saying, says, God's bigger than that. That's a built-up Christian's response. A built-up Christian response is when hell breaks loose in your finances, not, oh my God, what am I going to do? That's not a built-up Christian. We're talking about being built up with him. How? Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice all the time. You know where he wrote that from? Jail. Prison. What about Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas in prison at midnight, stripped, beaten, naked, hands and feet fast in stocks. What comes out of them? Praise and worship. Faith words come out of them. Why? I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. What's Paul saying? I thank my God I'm built up more than you all. That's what he's saying. A person that prays in tongues is just a built up person. And you can't afford to respond with doubt and unbelief. You can't afford to respond with worry and fear. You can't afford your love walk to go flush down the toilet when others wrong you. No! Jesus kept the course. When people treated him bad and did wrong things to him, he was a man of faith through all opposition. Why? He's built up more than anybody. We're not built up, and so our love walk suffers. We can't kill the smoking thing because our flesh, we're trying to do it with willpower. The overeating thing, we're trying to do it with willpower. Say, really, Pastor Mike? What are you trying to say? Real quick, go to Romans 8:13. I'll show you. Romans 8:13. Now, let me just qualify something. Does God hate you and kick you to the curb if you smoke, overeat, have a lust problem, you know, struggle with gambling and alcohol? No, he loves you just as much as if you don't. But you need to know that those things, if you live after the flesh, what's it mean? If you do fleshly things, God's going to still love you, but it's going to show up in your life. Do you see it there? It's from a different perspective of not a pastor saying, how dare you watch that and put that in your body and talk like that. And that's not where we're coming from. Your God and your Heavenly Father and your pastor are full of love and compassion 24/7. I'm a soft landing spot for people. Doesn't mean that I won't be bold. Doesn't mean that I won't tell you what's the wrong way. But I'm not going to judge you and call you horrible and kick you to the curb. No, there's always hope for everybody. If there's hope for me, there's hope for everybody. But he says if you live after the flesh, you will die. What's he saying? Things will suffer. Does God love a smoker more than a non-smoker more than a smoker? No. But something different is going to show up in the smoker's body than the non-smoker. Does God love the person who's not an alcoholic more than the person that is an alcoholic? Certainly not. But things are going to show up in the alcoholic's life that are not going to show up in the non-alcoholic's life. Does God love the person that struggles with that doesn't struggle with pornography and lust any less? Does he love them more than the person that doesn't struggle with that? No. But the person that struggles with it, things are going to show up in your life. The enemy has an inroad, just the truth. It's just the truth. So then, Pastor Mike, what in the world? How do we get past these things? I've been trying for years. Stop trying, start doing. Stop trying and start doing. Well, doing what? You live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit, everybody say through the Spirit, not through willpower. I'm all about self-help programs. But I'll tell you what, there's some self-help programs that ain't going to help anybody because it's spiritual in nature. And it needs spiritual combat to go against it. People hear me say this, oh, you're against Alcoholics Anonymous. No, I'm not. If that helps somebody, praise God. But it can't help everybody. Amen. But I know what can help everybody. This thing can help everybody. It's the truth. But if you, through the Spirit, mortify, kill, destroy the deeds of the body, you'll live. How do you do it? Through the Spirit. How? Praying in tongues much builds you up. And the temptations and the addictions and the things that have bound you and bound you and bound you will fall away. How do I know? You know how I know? I told the story last night. There's times in Wegmans, we shop at Wegmans. Now, I do have to make an announcement. The toilet paper and the paper towels are in this aisle. So if you see me in this aisle, it's because of that at times. But there's sometimes I'll just go walking right through the place where the alcohol is and just look at the stuff. Because there was a day in my life, pre-Christian, pre-Holy Ghost, I got saved and would get drunk off my mind because of the control. It still had control over me. And I'll go walking through the aisle and I'll just laugh at the stuff because it has no power through me, over me. Why? I mortified the deeds of my body through the Spirit. As a young man, the gambling addiction. On my way to Allegheny, I drive by a casino and now they've added sports gambling. You thought blackjack was bad for me. Addicted to gambling, was I? Yes. And I'll drive by that casino and I'll look over and laugh. And they added sports gambling. And my flesh tries to just rise up and say, ooh. I say, oh, no. Not going to happen. I'm a good steward of the Lord's money. Amen. Say, what's the big deal with gambling? I'm a good steward of the Lord's money. Those casinos aren't built the way they're built because you're the winner. Some of you have to learn that the hard way. All those things, how? Mortified through the deeds of the body, through the Spirit of God. Took time as a young man. Said, I'm not happy being addicted to these things. I'm not happy living this way. I know you love me, but it's messing me up. Just praying in tongues. Being so built up, things just falling off me. It'll happen to you too. Now, I know it's already 11:40. Holy cow. Let me get this one out of the way and we'll close down. Number four. It helps you pray out the perfect will of God. Why does the perfect will of God matter? Let me show you real quick. 1 John 5 and verse 14. People are getting their help today. First John 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will. Now notice this. If you ask according to his will, what's the result? He hears you. Do you see that? People think God hears me no matter what I say. No. He only tells you that I hear you when you ask me according to my will. So it's important to ask according to his will. He says, I'll hear you. And then look at the result in verse 15. And if we know he hears us, well, how can we know he hears us? The verse before told us. How do you know he hears you? By asking according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. What's he saying? You want to be successful in your prayer life? The way to be 100% successful in your prayer life is just pray according to his will. Okay, now go to Romans 8, verse 26. This is why it's important. Praise God. This is good stuff. We're going to make crazy tongue talkers out of all of you. Yes, we are. Now notice this. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. That word infirmity is not sickness, it's weakness. So wait, do we have weaknesses? We do. And the Bible's about to tell us what a weakness it is. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. Now here's our weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Now you need to clarify that. He's not saying you don't know how to pray. He's saying you don't know how you ought to pray. That's a weakness. You say, wait a minute. I know how I ought to pray. You don't know how you ought to pray in every situation. Because how should you ought to pray? Well, we saw in the verses before, the only way we're guaranteed success in our prayer life is praying according to his will. But what about when we, as believers, have no idea what in the world his will is? For example, Brother Hagin told the story of a missionary overseas in a very hostile environment, and a person connected with that missionary woke up out of a sleep in the middle of the night and had a burden in their heart to pray for them right now. That's all the Holy Ghost told them. Didn't say they need money, need protection, need healing, need favor. Didn't say anything. Well, it's the middle of the night. He's in a jungle over there. There's no cell phones, no computers to send a message on Facebook. I have no idea. Well, the Bible says if you don't pray according to God's will, you don't get your prayers answered. But it's a weakness when we don't know what to pray for. What about family members? Right? Different people going through stuff, and you don't know exactly what prayer to offer for them, but you know it better be God's will or it ain't going to get answered. So, the Bible says the Spirit helps with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, it should say, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Now notice this, because he makes intercession for the saints, that's for us, according to the perfect will of God. So the Bible says, in a nutshell, let me explain this to you. When you pray in tongues, verse 26, groanings which cannot be uttered or understood, that's what that word uttered means. When you pray in tongues, when that person wakes up, has the missionary on their heart, no idea, money, healing, deliverance, favor, what do you need? Don't know. Holy Ghost, help me pray for that missionary because you said in your word, you'll make intercession for me according to the perfect will of God, which we saw in the verses before. Without the perfect will of God, you don't get your prayers answered. So they take off praying in tongues for that missionary. Well, the missionary comes back after months and tells about a testimony and in a miraculous deliverance when they were on the verge of being killed. And the person that prayed never told them they prayed, but starting to pick things up and it's starting to put two and two together. They said, by any chance, did that miraculous delivery come on such and such a date between the time frame of this and this? And the missionary said, it sure did. Well, what was happening? God needed somebody to pray to get that missionary out of hot water. Why? God can't do it on his own. Woke somebody up. Somebody actually prayed. Didn't know what they're praying for, prayed in the Spirit. And the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be understood. And he that searches the minds knows what the heart of the Spirit is, for he makes intercession for us according to the perfect will of God. So when that guy's praying in tongues, what's happening to that? Power, again, for the perfect will of God's happening, and God's able to swoop in and deliver. What if that person would have said, last time I knew they needed money, let's pray for money. No, they needed their life spared. And we know James didn't get his life spared because nobody prayed. It's like the time someone called me up and said, Pastor Mike, you were put on my heart really heavy to pray for you today. I said, great, what'd you do? Sent you a bunch of voicemails and text messages wondering what I needed to pray for. I said to them, Brother, I don't know what you need to pray for me. Everything seems good on my end, but now you're making me nervous. Say, because they could, you could come to someone, they could tell you what they need. But I didn't know. I had no idea. Why? Because there's things up ahead of me that I don't know, but that God sees and trying to deliver me from. I had no idea. No idea what it was. Didn't need money. Didn't need healing. Didn't need deliverance. As far as I knew, didn't need any of those things. So I said, next time, Lord puts me on your heart to pray. Don't track me down and ask me what it is. Good chance I have no idea. Just start praying in tongues until you get a release in your heart. Amen. Amen. When Pastor Mike up and cancels a service, all of a sudden, and it's not weather related, don't sit around and wonder why. If you have it on your heart, pray. It might be something personal. It might be something I'm tending to with somebody. Amen. Just pray. Just pray, praise God. Hallelujah. Do you see it there in the Word? One of the things that the Holy Ghost does when we pray is it takes our mind out of the situation. Amen? Amen? Takes our minds out of it. Your life, things up ahead for you, what can you do? Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues for the perfect will of God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Pray in tongues. The perfect will of God is being prayed out and mysteries will be revealed. It's the truth. Well, what do people do? They just, Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff will change your life. Build you up, mysteries, perfect will of God. Oh my gosh. To fellowship with Him like that. Glory to God. Now last verse, and then we're going to invite people up to receive it. Luke 11:13. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? To them that what? Ask. You know how far away this is? Just you, a simple faith request asking, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. You do that, He'll do His part. And then just like you saw last week for those that were here, your job then, God does not reach into your voice, grab your tongue in your voice box and make you talk. Say, well, what am I supposed to say? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the utterance will be there. You just start speaking. Right, Jen? Right, Phil? Right, Aaliyah? Didn't that happen? They had no idea what was going to come out of them, but when they received it, they did their part, which was open their mouth and speak it out. And the Bible says what you hear is supposed to sound crazy to you. It's not English. It's an unknown language. So you just come up and do your part. I believe I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'll lay hands on you, have the Father fill you, and then I'll tell you, open your mouth and speak with tongues. Do not let it get to your head. Just start speaking. Right now, you don't. It doesn't make sense to you because you're not filled. But in that moment, the bubbling will be in there. The overflow will start to be there. And there'll be sounds and utterances. And you just start speaking it forth. And it'll sound different than mine and different than Jeff's and different than hers. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Let's get our lives changed today. Let's just begin to worship Him. We're all with you in this. Glory to God. If you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, come on up and receive it right now. Come on up and stand up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Today's a new day for you people. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can just stand facing me. We're going to give a second for people are still coming up. Glory to God. Now, in a second, I'm going to ask everybody, when I say be filled with the Holy Ghost, when I do to the first person, the people in the congregation, start praying in tongues with them. Amen? We're with you on this. And so I'm going to go ahead, Chris, Vern, and Amy, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer is going to be just like when you got born again. And I want all of us to pray this with them, declaring our belief in this, declaring what we believe, and then just follow my instructions, and I'll go right down the line and just... You're going to get it. Praise God. So let's just close our eyes and worship Him right now. And these three that are up here along with everybody in the congregation, say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I thank You that when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, I will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I will open my mouth and speak in new tongues in Jesus' name. Now, everybody else in the congregation that pray in tongues, begin to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Amy, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now open your mouth and speak it out. Yep, it's right there. Speaking that out. Yep, that's it. You got it, praise God. Just keep speaking that out. Just like a new language. Yes, give vocalization to that. Yep, she got it. Don't stop praying. In the name of Jesus, Father, fill Vern with the Holy Ghost. Now, Vern, open your mouth and just speak it out. Yep, it's right there. He got it. Just keep praying it out. Amen, Vern. Chris, it's going to be just as simple as for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now open your mouth and speak it out. He got it. Glory to God. Just keep speaking it out. Praise God. Yes. It's that easy. Come jump in the river if you want to receive this. If there's anybody else that wants to receive this, these three just got it. Just keep praying in tongues. Oh, now, for those of you, everybody stop and listen and look at me, especially you three up here. Congratulations. All the lies the devil told you to make you nervous and all that stuff, he's just such a liar. Now, I want to just remind you, and everybody else as well that's new to this, your mind is not supposed to know what you're saying. The Bible says it will be unfruitful. So when you get thoughts of, I'm nuts, I'm one of them now, you are one of us now, but you're not supposed to understand it. But also, this is yours now. You don't need me to lay hands on you. Just like when you can pray in English, you don't need me around. Just like this, you can pray from your spirit and just open your mouth and begin to pray in tongues. So let's all do that together so you can see you don't need me to help you. Rona sambrades kendoto socotrate setelete. Otra nasitando vosoto. And if there's anybody else that wants to receive it, you feel free to come on up. Cassie, your dad's a tongue talker now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this. We praise you for this. The new beginning for these people, Father. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Yes. Now, thank you, sir. I want to say this to you. Pastor Mike did not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost this way. I didn't have the faith and the nerve to come up in front. I can't even remember if it was offered, but I can guess probably the way I was back then that I wouldn't have wanted to do it that way. You don't have to do it that way. This is just an easy way to receive it because there's the anointing and I can help people through it. But I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in my apartment in Water Street in Fredonia, New York. And I just got on my knees and I said, Lord, you said in Luke 11:13, if I ask you for the Holy Ghost, you'll give him to me. And so I said, Father, I believe in it. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. He did, and I opened my mouth and I began to speak in tongues, and the rest is history. Praise God. So if you didn't come up here today, that's okay. That's not a big deal. The important thing is that you get it. I can help you in my office if you want to do it one-on-one, and if you're just a lady, we'll have somebody else in there so it's not just you and I in there, and you don't have to worry about anything like that, anything inappropriate. We'll help you receive it. I can help you over the phone. We've gotten people filled over the phone before. Or you can just go home in faith and do it yourself. Drive home on the way today. Say, Father, fill me, and begin to speak in tongues. But I do want to stress this. Jesus commanded this. It's okay that you didn't receive it this morning. That's fine. Who cares? I probably wouldn't have come up either back then. It's not okay to leave this here, and the next time Pastor Mike preaches on this, you did nothing with it. Why? Jesus commanded it. He wants something for you. And I'm willing to help you and coach you along in this in a private setting where you don't have to be around other people. I'm excited for the ones that came forward and received it. That takes, you know, some faith to do that. But don't leave it here. So many people leave what God has for them at the pulpit, and then they go without. We can't let that happen. There's change and deliverance for you. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. The gift of the Holy Ghost is great. Healing's great. Prosperity's great. But the greatest gift that God ever gave to us was Jesus. Speaking in tongues doesn't get you into heaven. Going to church doesn't get you into heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. Receiving Jesus gets you into heaven. So if you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If the answer isn't a 100% yes, my goodness, don't leave this place until you know for sure that you're going to heaven. Life can be an interesting and scary thing at times. And we don't know how much time we have left. And it's a free gift. You're not joining this church. You don't even ever have to step foot in here again. But if you can say, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I've ever received Jesus. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. It's a simple and free gift. And it starts at you believing in Jesus. If you can say, in my heart, I do believe in him. I don't understand everything, but I believe in him. Then it's just a quick, simple cry away to him to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never received Jesus and you want to be saved, you want to know that heaven is yours. Again, you're not joining this church. You're just saying, I believe in you, Jesus. And the Bible says, they that believe on him will not perish. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody here you've never received the Lord, you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you lift your hand high in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. Again, you're not joining the church. You're not making any declaration except that I believe in Jesus. Anybody at all want to receive him before we close? Don't let this moment pass you by. Just lift your hand high in the air and I'll tell you, put your hand right back down. We won't embarrass you. Anybody at all before we close the service? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in here, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice has received you and is on their way to heaven. But if by chance somebody in here or listening online now or when it's posted in the future has not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord and Savior. And Father, I thank you've made it simple. And if that's you and you didn't want to raise your hand, or if you're listening and I can't see you, all you simply have to do from a sincere heart is to say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do his part. Then get a hold of me. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in your next step with him. He's got so many good things for you. Can we all stand to our feet and worship him for what we received, what those three received? Father, thank you so much. Life is about to be different for those three. I know we talked about, Father, all the great ministers from Paul down to Pastor Nancy. But even your own pastor is here to tell you, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, besides being born again, was receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. The supernatural started happening in my life. So pray in tongues, people, and watch God work. We praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Wednesday. You are dismissed.
We worship you. We worship you. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Show the world.